From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. University of Alaska President Pat Pitney will retire this spring. Following an Olympic career, Pitney began working for the university in 1991 and served in several positions between the Systems Office and the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She was also the director of the State Office of Budget and Management from 2014 to 2018. Pitney worked as the state legislative finance director before being appointed as the interim president at UA in 2020. Pitney permanently took on the role in 2022, becoming the university's first permanent female president. Pitney says she took on the role during a difficult period thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic and declining state funding.
There was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unrest at the university, and just navigating through that to bringing the institution back around to enrollment growth and, you know, positive reputation.
During her time as president, the university increased its enrollment and expanded the UA Scholars Program and Alaska Performance Scholarship. Pitney says federal uncertainty remains a challenge. According to an update at the UA Board of Regents meeting last week, the federal government has frozen, delayed, and terminated close to $25 million in funding in federal grants. That leaves about 95% of the university's research portfolio intact.
We're positioned well and doing well in this environment, and so for the most part, just keeping people focused on what it is that we can do.
University of Alaska Southeast Chancellor Aparna Palmer was hired during Pitney's tenure. Palmer says she appreciates Pitney recognizing the importance of all campuses in the university.
When it comes to UAS, she has been really supportive of our success as an institution, and also really supportive of innovative ideas.
She says those ideas included UAS's decision to offer in-state tuition to all undergraduate students starting next year. The university is contracting with an executive search firm to help with finding a new president. Pitney plans to retire after the May Board of Regents meeting. And after a decade of serving Juneau a range of fresh food and diverse flavors, a beloved local restaurant is closing its doors later this month. Zerelda's Bistro was started by a couple who love food almost as much as they love each other. Abby and Jeremy Barnett opened Zerelda's together in 2016. It's named after Abby's grandmother, Zerelda LaForce, who fostered her love of cooking and baking. The restaurant originally started as Abby's dream. Jeremy didn't live in the state yet, but after the two met online, Jeremy was ready to join her in this dream. He moved to Alaska for her and the business.
I met her and I dropped everything. So I loved what she was doing. And I was like,
"And we fell in love.
I'll come help." And yeah.
Yeah, so. And we fell in love and we just loved cooking together. And
we clicked.
Zerelda's debuted on the Juneau food scene in a different location in the valley with sit-down table service. A few years after opening, the couple decided to get married rather spontaneously. They didn't even close the restaurant.
We had whiskey, and we ate El Zarape, and
shots and tacos,
and smoked ribs. And then it was hilarious. We opened for service 2 hours late.
Yeah.
Zerelda's moved to its current location in the valley during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Barnetts turned what used to be a laundromat into a massive kitchen and bakery and shifted to a primarily to-go counter. Soon, the demand for their food tripled, and they said it took a few years to find their stride. But still, they prioritized fresh, local food and a diverse menu. It features decadent comfort food, like fried chicken and burgers, to veggie-forward noodle bowls and pho. New specials appear on the chalkboard almost daily, and cookies, pies, and croissants line the shelves of a case by the register. Abby Barnett says it's the product of the people in the back of the house.
We love to see what people's strengths are.
She says that while they've weathered rising costs and other fluctuations in the economy, it gave them the opportunity to be creative with their menu. She says they're closing for health reasons. In 2023, Jeremy had a severe heart attack, and since then, the couple has tried to find ways to step back from the restaurant without closing. But this fall, they decided it was time.
You know, it was a hard decision. It's emotional. It's like, this is all we know. You know, it's what we built together.
Abby says the hardest part for her is saying goodbye to her staff.
There are people that you've spent every day with for years and years and years, and they're who kept us going when we didn't think we could go anymore.
The Barnetts say they're seeking someone who's willing to take over the restaurant and have had some promising conversations so far. They're planning to close at the end of next week. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And powerful solar storms brought a dazzling light show to the skies above the northern hemisphere last night. And if you missed it, scientists say tonight's aurora could be even more impressive. And as the Alaska Desk's Shelby Herbert reports, even scientists who have observed the aurora for decades say this storm is something special.
It was 10 below in Fairbanks on Tuesday night. But undeterred, a crowd of people flocked to a popular aurora viewing spot at the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. Fatin Pasha stands outside his car, shivering, with a fur trapper hat pulled down over his ears. He just moved to Fairbanks from Missouri, and he says the lights are part of what brought him here.
It's my first time actually seeing even faintest of the faintest, yeah.
Are you getting anything quite yet?
Just a tad reddish, not a whole lot yet. I've seen some beautiful pictures though, so I'm hanging around in this negative weather, hoping to catch a glimpse.
At first, it's hard to tell if the faint glow is the aurora or just a trick of the city lights, the exhaust from our cars, or the fog of our breath. But about a half hour later, the pink haze deepens into scarlet, and pillars of lights dance across the sky. Those same lights were visible all over the country, even as far south as the Florida Panhandle. On Tuesday night, Minneapolis resident Hillary Shepherd could see the aurora from inside her downtown apartment.
Yeah, look at how pink it's getting. That's insane!
The light show is part of what UAF scientists are calling an unusual triple whammy of X-class solar flares, including one unsettlingly named Cannibal. X-class flares like these are the most intense. They can disrupt satellite communications, GPS systems, power grids, and yes, even trigger radio blackouts. Mark Condy is a space physicist at UAF. He says this threefold hit is one of the most significant events he's observed in his career. The third wave of the massive solar event hit right in the middle of our interview, disrupting the monitoring systems he was looking at.
Unfortunately, the spacecraft sensors are all a little bit disrupted at the moment. I suspect that we just got hit by that third one in the last, while we've been talking.
He says the last time a solar storm of this scale happened, back in February of 2022, it knocked out about 40 SpaceX satellites.
To be clear, they were unlucky because they put them in this low altitude orbit first, and they happened to experience a storm right when the satellites were at their most vulnerable.
The flares from this solar storm are traveling at the highest speed he's ever seen, about 870 miles per second.
We might get another one or two of these before the solar cycle calms down, and then we'll have to wait another 11 years to get the next one. So the event we're experiencing right now and is ongoing perhaps for tonight is certainly something that is not an everyday event by any stretch of the imagination.
Condy says the best aurora forecasts are on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, but the lights should continue to shine for the next few days. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
A derelict vessel is no longer drifting unmanned in the waters of the Wrangell Narrows near Petersburg. The borough's harbor department was monitoring the Valkyrie, a 36-foot fiberglass troller, for months. But Monday morning, it drifted too close for comfort in the town's middle harbor after traveling a few miles overnight. Harbor Master Gloria Ann Wolin says that's when the department decided to deal with the hazard.
It will continue to be a problem. It'll be a navigation issue as well as, littering the beaches. So we'll get it out. Because if I let it go, it's a hazard.
Earlier this fall, the Valkyrie broke loose from its mooring buoy in Scow Bay during a storm. Pollutants eventually started to leak out from the vessel while beached on Kuprinoff Island. So it got cleaned out by a salvage company. But it wasn't removed. Wallen says the vessel has been floating around Scow Bay, a few miles south of town, until the tide took it up through Libby Strait. For miles, it drifted in the dark of the night to town and eventually into Middle Harbor on Monday morning. A derelict vessel drifting in the water, slowly sinking, and entering the harbor poses a number of hazards for both the harbor and mariners. Staff managed to get it out of the harbor, latch on, and pump out the water. It remained tied up in North Harbor until the tide would let staff ground it at Scow Bay. Wallen says the derelict vessel Valkyrie is slated for permanent removal.
Hopefully working with Public Works, we'll get it out at minimal cost, because we're going to do it in-house. But then it's the price tag the bailer puts on it, because that's what, they'll have to ship it out. So they'll come up with a cost, and then that's budgeted for, and mortgage holders have to pay for it. Sadly, that's who ends up, footing the bill for things, the rule abiders.
Demolishing and disposing of derelict vessels costs thousands of dollars. And 9 puppies found seemingly abandoned in a crate at the Fox transfer site in Fairbanks last week were all adopted by new families in a single day. KUAC's Patrick Gilchrist reports.
A good Samaritan brought the doe-eyed and lick-happy German Shepherd mixes from the transfer site to the Fairbanks North Star Burrows Animal Shelter. The puppies arrived on November 3rd. Animal Control Manager Sandra Hill said in an interview Friday that staff were getting the puppies ready for adoption. She said that was after the official stray time, or the 3 days in which the borough waited to see if an owner came forward.
Unfortunately, we didn't have anybody reclaim them, so they were prepared for adoption, which, like I said, then they're, you know, the vaccinated, dewormed, health check, and then spay and neuter.
Hill says it's not uncommon for animals that were seemingly abandoned, including at places like transfer sites, to come into the shelter's possession. And she says people with animals they can't care for should contact the borough shelter and learn about its services.
It's not something that needs to happen. They don't need to be at the transfer site. We have a warm building here that they can get all that care that they need and then find those homes and not have to stay at the transfer site in a cold cage.
Though not always the case, Hill said that this time the shelter had the room available to intake all 9 dogs without issue. When the shelter is at capacity, staff try to find foster homes or figure out other workarounds to open up more space. Borough code does also allow the shelter to euthanize animals to create space. The 6 male and 3 female transfer site puppies first became available to adopt on Saturday, and by the end of the day, they had all found new homes, according to the borough mayor's office. In Fairbanks, I'm Patrick Gilchrist.
And as for the weather, it's currently 36 degrees, and we're getting a bit of snow this evening. It looks like that will taper off over the course of the night, turning into rain with a low of 34 degrees. This is KTOO.